President Biden signs the omnibus spending bill, the most progressive spending bill in American history, and it seems to be a Trojan horse of Marxist ideologies and woke spending. You're listening to The Last Gay Conservative. I'm your host, Chad Law. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Last Gay Conservative. It's me, Chad Law, your host, your binary brother, America's holiest homo, and the liberals' favorite fascist fairy. As always, we're broadcasting from our gay conservative studios here in Newport Beach, California, sending our truth through the airwaves on our red, white, and blue rainbow. Well, folks, as you know, American history has been under attack for many years by the woke liberals. Every year, it seems like a piece of our great history is stripped down, statues torn down, flags burned, etc. And as patriots, it's imperative that we teach our children true American history to keep this country great. But I understand, as we learned with COVID, it's hard to teach at home, especially when the curriculum or the information is boring for kids. Well, I've got great news for you. If you have kids or you know people with kids, do yourselves a favor, go online and order them the Rush Revere books. They're written and published by Rush Limbaugh. There's 5 books that tell the tale of Rush Revere, who travels through American history. They're based on fact. They're fun. And everyone that I've gifted them to loves them. My nieces and nephews love them. My friends thank me all the time when I gift them. Buy them wherever books are sold. Rush Revere, Real American History for Our Future Patriots. All right, folks. Well, it is kind of foggy and gloomy here between Christmas and New Year's. Hope all of you are enjoying your holiday season. I don't know if you guys know this. I've talked a little bit about my retail addiction, but I'm completely a shopaholic. I mean, I love clothes, houseware, accessories, Amazon shopping while I'm drinking. It's a terrible habit, and I've really tried the last couple of years to control it, but I'm not doing so hot. Needless to say, folks, I'm at the mall a lot, as you can imagine. So yesterday, I'm in the mall doing some Christmas shopping, and two men, apparently, I wasn't in the store, but two men entered Nordstrom, grabbed everything they could, and actually got caught by security. And when I was walking out of the store, I actually exit and enter through Nordstrom. And as I was walking out of Nordstrom, I saw they were handcuffed on the sidewalk. You know, it's nothing new. These crimes are up and happening everywhere. I mean, we've talked about it 100 times on the show. These people walk in, grab what they want, and I assume they're selling the merchandise online or just giving away to friends and family. I'm not exactly sure, but it's a snatch and grab, basic snatch and grab. And so I'm walking out seeing these guys cuffed, and I'm like, man, these guys are going to get hit with burglary, theft, handful of charges, I'm sure. They're definitely going to jail. But then I have to stop and wonder, honestly, folks, how is this any different than our federal government? Really, when you think about it, how is it any different? I'm not excusing the theft, but the theft that is happening in stores is no different than what just happened with this spending bill. They take our tax dollars, create debt, and then give it away to their close circle or sell our dollars for political donations. It's a travesty. And it's the exact same thing as a snatch and grab, except for we're the victims. Now earmarking is back on the table. Earmarking is essentially, as you know, when they put something that's totally unrelated to the spending or the law they're trying to pass in order to kick back to a buddy or a program or something that they've promised. Nothing to do with infrastructure or the things that our tax dollars should be going towards. So the theft is on overdrive now with earmarking. I mean, what they're doing is they're taking money from our paychecks every month. And what we're expecting is for those dollars to pay for services from the government. Things like defense, Social Security, Medicare, infrastructure. Nordstrom, same way. They pay for their merchandise. They pay for their merchandise wholesale in a similar fashion. They expect to get the goods, and then they turn it around and sell it retail. So then what the government does is they've taken your money and they sell it to their political donors special interest groups and things we would never dream of supporting. We would never allow our hard-earned tax dollars to go towards these special interest groups, political donors, or in this case, even big woke Marxist groups that are 100% anti-American. Meanwhile, these criminals take things, give it away, sells it to the highest bidder, anything that will benefit them. I mean, folks, do you see the similarity here? And the biggest difference is simple. The thieves are sitting on the sidewalk, arrested, and our politicians are patting each other on the back for getting things done.
So, admittedly, I'm pretty proud of the fact that with a Democratic president, a Democratic House, and a Democratic Senate, we were able to achieve, through this omnibus spending bill, essentially all of our priorities.
Nonpartisan spending bill. You know, Nordstrom at least keeps an inventory, knows exactly what was taken and how. They can file an insurance claim to mitigate their losses. But the government, on the other hand, has no inventory, so to speak, no accounting, and certainly doesn't care about mitigating our losses. That only happens in the private sector because the private sector is held accountable by stockholders, their customers, and their employees. However, for the federal government, we Americans are the stockholders, customer, and employees. Yet there's no accountability. Some would say elections are the political version of accountability because they can be voted out. We know that doesn't happen. Look at Romney and McConnell. I mean, the people are so sick of Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. Same with Romney in Utah. They can't get voted out. They can't be dethroned because they have all these tax dollars from us to kick back to their friends that in return donate to them. The big money laundering scheme, and it's happening on both sides. Hey, what's the difference between someone who takes from a store, sells what they took, or gives it away, and then uses that money for themselves? And then a politician taking our money, gives it away or sells it to the highest bidder, and then uses that money to stay in power. It is exactly the same thing. It's absolutely sick. I mean, McConnell's last-minute omnibus spending bill is the epitome of that. Trillions of dollars of our money going to all sorts of special interest groups, grants for unnecessary projects, and initiatives we don't want. It's theft. More importantly, that's not representative government. Shouldn't we know where the tax dollars are going? Because up until a couple days ago, no one knew what was actually in the bill, except for a handful of senators, I think 4 or 5 senators. And they do this on purpose, because if the public knew what was really going where, we'd have war on our hands. Seriously, there would be moms at the steps of Capitol Hill demanding their money back. And that's why they do it this way. They create a bill behind closed doors. They put it through. They get very, very little time for the public or the representatives of the public to review it and guilt the other politicians into signing off. And here we have it. Joe Biden signs off on it. But the real question is, why would these rhinos in the Senate pass a bill knowing that the American people just voted for a Republican House? Wouldn't McConnell want to work with his counterparts within the party? I mean, I will say Kevin McCarthy did go into that meeting with the bill and say he was concerned that the American people don't want this because they want the new Congress to address these issues. And we should maybe pass another Band-Aid spending bill so they can get some real legislation done in January. No, no, that's not good enough for McConnell. He was so gung-ho on passing this thing that any question, any challenge was completely shot down because he didn't need Republicans because he was working with the Democrats. That's it. The Democrats were involved in this decision with him. This was a McConnell-Schumer bill. That's it. No one else involved. He rushed it while Democrats still had control because there's no other explanation other than him being one. Unless you can offer me something else, folks, I can't see another explanation. He was so set on working with the Democrats while they were still in power to get these things passed because he knew that the new Republican House would kick back so many of these earmarks, so much of this pork. So he's got to be in with someone or something. There's no explanation other than the fact that he's aligned himself with Democrats. I mean, for many, 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 many years, maybe not that many, but several years earmarking was banned, at least 10 years. I mean, they still had ways to slip stuff through, and they called it community funding, but it was much smaller. It was much less obvious and nothing like we're seeing in this $1.7 trillion omnibus spending package. Earmarks are essentially dollars set aside for people and programs that help politicians and not us. I mean, the craziest part of this bill is that it's filled with woke agenda earmarks, things that American people, regardless of political party, have rejected time and time again. That McConnell apparently, I don't even want to say that he caved on. I don't think he even fought for it. I think he was cheering them on as they put it in because he doesn't care, period. He's a thief. That's what he is. He's a thief. He's a common criminal. He might as well go out and raid a Nordstrom. Now, just when we thought it couldn't get any worse, you may want to take your Tums because I'm going to walk you through some of these outrageous earmarks in the bill. And many of them are for the fraudulent LGBTQ community. Here are the things that Senator Collins, McConnell, Graham, Romney, and the other rhinos would like you and I to pay for. This spending bill is merely a last-ditch effort to shove everything rhinos and Democrats can before the next Congress. And the Heritage Foundation laid it out quite nicely in a piece about the absurdities in the bill. $1.7 trillion. I mean, can you folks believe that? $1.7 trillion. Can someone tell me what comes after a trillion? I don't even know what comes after. Quadrillion, they're telling me. Quadrillion. So a quadrillion is the next. So we're at $1.7 trillion. I'm sure we'll be at quadrillion very, very soon. Probably in our lifetime, which is disgusting. It's just pure insanity. The bill itself is 6,800 pages with over 4,000 earmarks. I mean, if we just set the obvious economic negative impacts of this bill aside, the anti-American heritage, the anti-American culture, the anti-American history that's woven through these pages, to me, is way worse than the economic impact. Because here's the thing. Americans, time and time again, have proven to be able to innovate their way out of recession, out of economic downturn. We've been able to fight our way through recession and depression, time and time again. However, we don't have that same vigor, that same grit and tenacity to protect the American way the same way we protect the American wallet. What most people don't understand is the two are mutually exclusive. You see, the American way is what enables us to have the wallet that we want. And so every piece of American culture that is torn down, American history, American heritage, the American dream, later, sometimes immediately, sometimes long term, comes back to bite us in the wallet. Because you can't have one without the other. Right? You can't have a socialist America and have the perks of capitalism that we all enjoy today. Doesn't happen. However, Washington, the elite, all the Marxists out there, the left, the mob, they all want you to think that the two things are separate. You can still be a multimillionaire. You can still work hard and live the American dream, but at the same time, have a controlled economy with spending caps, have extremely high fuel prices, have inflation upwards of 10%, double-digit inflation, have no means to invest, no means to borrow against equity. Those things all go hand in hand. The economy of America is driven by our culture, not the other way around. So, if anything, we should be more horrified by the anti-American culture and heritage that exists within this bill than we should with the obvious economic impact that it's going to have, increasing our deficit and pushing inflation back up. Hasn't gone much down, but pushing inflation back up again. I mean, it reminds me of the time I was a kid. I was going out with a group of friends and my mom handed me $20 to go out and pick a present for my dad. We were in a pet store. For some reason, I came back with a gecko. But I told my mom convincingly that I got it for my dad and I to share. Well, there's a lot of geckos in this bill. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things that are framed that will supposedly help us and framed to help the disenfranchised and to fix inequities within our society. But honestly, they're just geckos. They're just framed that way. But the only people that they're actually benefiting are the politicians. They're not helping anyone.
So let's step back and say, what are the real needs of the country right now?
I mean, I think the scariest thing that I saw was $575 million was earmarked in a health section. And it's been earmarked for reproductive services for places where population growth threatens biodiversity and endangered species. In short, what does that mean? That means that they've set aside $500 million for reproductive services where humans have, quote unquote, overgrown to threaten plant life and endangered animal species. Now, we're not talking about the snow leopard or the giant panda here, people. We're talking about the Midwestern dung beetle or the high desert fly that are endangered species, but don't add much value into the overall ecosystem. And I just made up those animals, if you weren't clear on that. But the point is that there's a lot of endangered species out there that are ridiculous, that have become endangered after a community has already been built. They could have been built and there was no endangering, and there's nothing to do with that community and the endangerment of that species. It could be weather, could be a shift in food sources. Who knows? There's a million reasons. But what's scary is they want reproductive services where population growth threatens biodiversity. In other words, have you ever heard of spay and neuter laws? This is the exact same thing. Municipalities, communities, states, what have you, have laws in place in order to control the pet population, because when they're overpopulated, they have negative effects on communities around them. When there's excessive amounts of loose dogs, you could see dog attacks, too much feces and on the sidewalks, whatever it is. I don't want to get too off track here, folks, but basically what I'm trying to tell you is that they are literally wanting to have ways to essentially castrate populations to protect plants and endangered species. So God forbid you live in an area that's growing or encroaching on plant life. You may be expected to not reproduce, to not procreate, to the point where they may expect you to be castrated. And it sounds crazy, and it is crazy, but why else would it be in there? I mean, if you guys can call me or email me and ask, you know, tell me what else is earmarked in health for reproductive services for places where population growth threatens biodiversity and endangered species. One, it's not reproductive services for the biodiversity or endangered species to help them continue to reproduce. No. It's reproductive services for humans where population growth is growing, the government can deem that it's having a negative effect on biodiversity. Stupid, but scary. When the government begins to fund reproductive services, which we've already seen with Planned Parenthood, they're essentially determining where people can have babies, where people can't. I mean, do you guys remember the Chinese? For years, the Chinese had limits on population, male, female. It's essentially the same thing. And, you know, animal population through control is very, very common. I mean, we use it to maintain crops, waterways, rivers, and lakes. I mean, I don't know how else to read into this, especially when we know population overgrowth is not a cause for environmental negative impact. It's been proven wrong since the 1800s. Every time there's a marker of overpopulation that will destroy the climate, we surpass it. And we're better for it because humans innovate and make doing things possible for less. Things like GMO crops, for example, that have been able to grow with terrible weather conditions and feed people in places that have been so poverty stricken due to an inability to grow crops that it's completely changed the landscape of how we feed the world. Extra, we've been able to develop technology where crops can grow with a third of the amount of water than they used to. So my point is that we've proven that overpopulation, quote unquote, there is no such thing as overpopulation. We've proven that population and detriment to the planet or the universe or the climate do not go hand in hand. And actually, our overpopulation has led to less impact on the climate. In the news, you'll see that the bill is $1.7 trillion, but you know, we have to add our special Ukraine funds and everything else. At the end of the day, it's actually $1.85 trillion, which obviously doesn't include any unfunded liabilities, which puts our deficit so far gone, you wouldn't even believe it, folks. But the most insane part of this bill is that it's going to cost each American household an additional $20,000 per year. I was laughing telling the team, I think conservative politicians would have the best commercials. They just say, you could save $20,000 a year by switching senators. Geico, 15 minutes or more could save you 15 minutes or 15% or less. $20,000 by switching senators, you could save. I mean, seriously, that is the truth. $20,000 is what this bill costs every American household, not including inflation. How are people not outraged by this? Well, I actually know why. Because none of us were able to see or review it before they passed it, including our elected lawmakers. I mean, we're right back to the Obamacare bill where Nancy Pelosi said, hey, we just have to pass it to see what's in it. Well, here we are again. This bill is twice as long as the Bible. However, they're passing it within a 4-day window. Again, how is this any different from snatch and grab thieves? Earmarking after 10 years gone. Because the American people deplored the practice, but now it's back because these politicians have put up their middle finger and said F you to all of us. It's infuriating. Not one American who understands what earmarking is would have voted for earmarking to come back. Yet their representatives vote for it and claim that it'll eventually turn around and help their communities that they represent because they can fold things into bills as well for them. Well, that's so counterintuitive. Sure, you get $750,000 to go towards your specific district, but then your specific district has to pay for all the other hundreds of things that are going to the other districts. When it would have been fine just managing the federal budget and the federal government the way that it should be managed. I mean, listen to this.
So let's step back and say, what are the real needs of the country right now?
$1.5 million to encourage people to eat outdoors in Pasadena, California. We're in California. No one needs encouragement to eat outdoors. We eat outdoors 24/7. That's what we do. $1.1 million for a solar array in Kirkland, Washington, one of the most cloudy, rainy places in the country. A solar array. $2 million for B360, which is a group that promotes dirt bike culture in Baltimore. How many of you want to bet that whoever runs that group is a large political donor to a senator or a congressperson? $3 million is going to the island of St. George, Alaska for water infrastructure and $2.5 million for harbor improvements. And the total cost is $82,000 per resident to Alaska. St. George, Alaska, the island, is like the size of a thumbnail. It is so small and tiny and remote, not to mention that the state government of Alaska should have no problem funding those improvements. $500,000 for a skate park in Rhode Island. Again, why isn't this being funded by that community? $4.8 million for an environmental impact report on the possible expansion of Chicago's rail transit system. Now, let me be very clear here. This is not $4.8 million for a transit system. This is $4.8 million for an environmental impact report, an environmental impact study on the possible potential expansion of Chicago's rail transit system. $5 million environmental impact report. I mean, if that's not bureaucracy at work, I don't know what is. $13 million to expand the airport in the tiny city of Abbeville, Alabama, which is tiny little Alabama, Georgia line town. I mean, it really, truly is BFE. Why they need $13 million to expand their airport is unclear. But this is a good one. $4 million for soy-enabled rural road construction in Iowa. Soy-enabled rural road reconstruction in Iowa. What is soy-enabled rural road reconstruction? $4 million. Oh, and this is the this is so funny. So Senator Leahy of Vermont earmarked his own center in his own state. So Patrick Leahy, Senator Patrick Leahy, earmarked in the bill $2.35 million for his own Leahy Center in Vermont, named after him. Who earmarks their own center? I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, this guy, these people, where do we live? The other thing I think worth noting is that most of these states also collect state income tax as well. For example, California in 2021 collected $250 billion with a $97 billion operating surplus. And that's not because of Newsom. That's because we had some tech companies with some serious gains in 2021. However, the Fed still wrote us a check to California for $43 billion. We know the federal economy is what impacts and controls things like defense, borders, overall economy. But they're forking over federal tax dollars that we've paid in back to states that are already flush. I mean, if you look at California, they collected the most tax revenue, they had the highest surplus, and they were also the largest recipient of federal funds, $44 billion. Texas, $27 billion. Florida, $24 billion. New York, $22 billion. Virginia, $18 billion. Pennsylvania, $16 billion. Illinois, $13 billion. Ohio, $13 billion. North Carolina, $11 billion. Michigan, $10 billion. Most of these states are blue. None of these states are the poorest or the worst educated or have the most people below the poverty line. Why aren't the Democrats the champions of the people, of the poor, of the hardworking? Why aren't they redirecting these funds to states that really need it? Oh, because their buddies don't run those states. None of the poorest states in education, poverty, jobs receive massive amounts of federal funding like some of these other states, New York and California. And those are just a handful of what I would say regular earmarks. Even more sickening is the LGBTQ funding and woke stuff going on, especially funds going to known fraudulent organizations like Casa Ruby. You guys remember Ruby Corrado, the trans woman grifter who bilked the government for grants and stole about $400,000 cash and bailed to El Salvador, all under the guise of housing trans people? Happens all the time because there is no oversight. They don't say, here's your $750,000 and then have someone tracking the spending. Oh, no, no, no. It's a check. They do whatever they want. It happens all the time. You know, in past times, budgeted funds are placed in what they call a lockbox, which only allows them to be used for that project in particular. But that's not the case. Most of the stuff just ends up in messy general funds where no one really knows where it goes. So our wonderful leader, Mitch McConnell, and our Senate leader, Mitch McConnell, Senator Vaginal Ginus McConnell, said, no, that's okay. You can fund these.
So let's step back and say, what are the real needs of the country right now?
$1.2 million for the LGBTQIA plus pride centers, and another $1.2 million for support services for DACA recipients, which is helping illegal aliens with taxpayer funds, both at the San Diego Community College. $500,000 went to the Equity Institute in Rhode Island to indoctrinate teachers with anti-racism virtual labs. And again, half the stuff you don't even know what it is, what it means. What is it? $1 million for Zora's House in Ohio, a co-working and community space for women and gender expansive people of color. I mean, that's my favorite. So I'm white and I want a co-working and community space. I can't go there because I'm not a woman. I'm not trans or non-binary, and I'm not black or brown or whatever colors they're including. Yet a sports team specifically for a gender has to allow trans people with a competitive advantage, biological advantage, to join the team. But in return, we can't join the co-working and community space for women and gender expansive people of color, which, by the way, all of these co-working spaces, housing for gender expansive people of color, gender and trans, they're all big frauds. They don't help anyone. All they do is increase the mentality of victimhood. $3 million went to the American LGBTQ Plus Museum in New York City. What the hell could be in the LGBTQ Plus Museum? I'm sorry. They say, oh, well, Harvey Milk. Yeah, but Harvey Milk was Harvey Milk. It wasn't because he was gay. It was because he was a great community leader and a fantastic person, if that's what you think. It had nothing to do with him being gay. There should be no museums about LGBTQ+. The museums should be history museums that showcase movements, whether they have to do with gay rights, women's rights, whatever. And they're just part of history, not separate history. I'm thinking to myself, what could be the LGBTQ+ museum in history? It's like, is this the, are we looking at the history or the evolution of drag? I mean, I don't know. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is this deep, rich American LGBTQ plus history or that needs to be in a museum, things that need to be in a museum. But for me, again, that's putting sexual orientation and gender before merit or people. $3.6 million for Michelle Obama Trail in Georgia. I don't even know what that is. We were laughing and we're like, maybe her happy trail, because I mean, that might be gender expansive because we're really still not sure. The jury's still out on Michelle Obama, but who knows? $750,000 went to LGBT and gender nonconforming housing in Albany, New York. Again, scam. People with big fat salaries housing the victims of gender inequities. Oh, this is great. $2 million went towards the quote, Great Blacks in Wax Museum in Baltimore. So basically, Madame Tussauds Wax Museum for Blacks. I mean, kind of offensive. I don't know. I don't know what's offensive and what's not anymore. All I know is $2 million of my tax dollars should not be going towards a museum for Black wax figures. For any wax figure. I have to put that out there because people's like, oh, you're so racist. You don't want a Black museum celebrating Black people. No, museum, period. Black, white, dinosaur. When we have double digit inflation, an economy where people can't fill their gas tanks or their grocery carts, why are we sending $2 million to Great Blacks and Wax? It has nothing to do with the race. It has to do with the priorities of our screwed up government. Another LGBT center in New York, $856,000. This one really gets my goat because I'm familiar with them specifically. $750,000 was paid out towards the Trans Latino Coalition to provide workforce development programs and supportive services for transgender and non-conforming gender or gender non-conforming and intersex immigrant women in Los Angeles. You know what they do? They help fresh illegal aliens get gender reassignment surgery. That's what they do. That's what they're known for. New immigrants come in illegally or not, and they help walk them through the process so they can get a free castration, basically. $2 million went to the MLK Labor in Washington, an affiliate of the AFL-CIO, is the same group that expelled Seattle police officers from union ranks. Completely anti-American, anti-democracy. 100% Marxist group. We just wrote them a check for $2 million of your dollars. $1 million went to the Equity Incubator at the Universities of Shady Grove in Maryland. What does that even mean? No one knows. $800,000 went to Equitable Energy Resilience and EV Infrastructure in Sonoma, California, which for those of you who don't know, Sonoma is one of the wealthiest counties in America. In California, the wealthiest state in America, who had a $97 billion surplus. You don't think they could have chipped over 790 grand? Oh, no. What's bizarre about all of these earmarks is that, like I told you, we didn't have earmarks for quite a long time. And they just passed it something like with a crazy majority. I want to say it was like 150 to 50-ish, right? And it was like 75%, essentially, which, of course, is just across the board. Not one Republican should have voted for earmarks. They could have blocked this whole thing. But of course not, because they're not Republicans. They're not Democrats either. They're just politicians. They're just thieves, criminals. I mean, can someone find me any value in these quote unquote donations to charity with your tax dollars? Not to mention McConnell gave Biden $2.3 billion for student debt amnesty. I mean, I just saw on TV the appropriation chair, Congress, she's a real liberal Looney Tune, was bragging, saying that they were able to push 98% of Democrat requests through this bill. Republicans significantly less, around 70%. This is a Schumer-Pelosi spending bill that McConnell and his buddies backed. I mean, it's twice as long as the Bible, people. And the worst part about all of this is the excuses they use. Looming government shutdown. Defense spending. I mean, they also didn't blink an eye to send unaudited funds over to Europe's most corrupt country, Ukraine. Zelensky with his big, this is an investment speech. And McConnell stating that most Republicans make aid to Ukraine their number one priority. I mean, my head just spins. Am I in an alternate universe here? I mean, come on, folks. More money to Ukraine from Zelensky that stands up, begs for more money. This guy's worth $1.5 billion in the poorest country in Europe. An actor, a media mogul. It's disgusting. He's a total scam. The whole thing is a total sham. Not one piece of auditing material into the money. Just here you go. I mean, I really do feel like I'm in an alternate universe. I mean, what the hell is going on? McConnell hands over the January 6th Gestapo $200 million. For additional prosecution against those terrible insurrectionists, which we all know this is just going to go towards the Biden's competition hunting. I mean, when does it stop? When does it stop? I mean, when I heard McConnell say, Republicans have two choices, my McConnell is very bad. All my impressions are very bad, but I have to differentiate in some way. There was a meme that floated around that just said, this is what vaginal dryness would look like. And it was a picture of McConnell. So around the office, we call him Mitch Vaginal Dryness McConnell. But he basically said, Republicans have two choices. You can either fund the military or not. Well, how are we developing the military? What are these funds doing? $858 billion is going to defense, which is a 10% bump. And guess how much Biden recommended? 4% for our dilapidated military that him and Obama just have destroyed. We still have not caught up from that destruction. You know, speaking of our military, I don't want to get too far off track here, but I don't know how many of you guys saw the new Top Gun. I know it's old. I didn't watch it. I'm not a big fan of massive Hollywood blockbusters, the 20-year-old sequels, the remakes. I just look for more original creative content. However, everyone told me I should watch it. And so over the Christmas weekend, I watched it and I did love it. It was a great film. It was a very, very good film. But there was one big takeaway, and I don't know if this was done purposely or not, but one of the themes throughout the entire movie was that these pilots that Tom Cruise was teaching how to fly were having to fly into enemy territory in F-18s. That were completely unable to compete with the fifth generation fighter planes of the enemy. Well, that's real, folks. China has surpassed us with advanced weapon systems so far. And so we are sending in old technology, old dilapidated planes, F-18s against fifth generation fighter planes. Biden's defense spending is the lowest against GDP we've ever seen at 3.4%. When Obama took office, we were at 5.7%, and he immediately took it down to 4.4%. Studies across the board, Democrat, Republican, have all ranked our military weak, citing underperforming weapon systems, old breaking down systems. the constant replacing of componentry instead of replacing the systems themselves. We have a band-aided, dilapidated military. And as the number one military of the world who protects the entire world, it seems, like NATO, we've totally fallen behind on advancing. And yet we're taking funds that should be going to advancing our own military and sending them over to a country that is the number one producer of child pornography, the number one money laundering economy in the world. Corruption, 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 not a democracy. To Zelensky, who seems to be this incredible patriot, who is one of the richest people in Ukraine, and comes from being a TV comedian who used to spank around his testicles on TV for a laugh. And what? We're just going to hand him a blank check? And why isn't anyone else coughing up the kind of cash we have? First of all, we don't even border Russia. And I understand. Look, I understand that it is in our best interest geopolitically to decimate Russia's military. However, not this way, not the way that we're doing it now, not by funding fraud, because in this way that we're doing it, the decimation of Russia's military is secondary. It's not primary. It's here's money, and we see how much of it actually trickles into the front lines of the conflict. I mean, there's no question that Ukraine needs help and needed help, but what progress have they made so far? How much money do you put into a broken down car before you sell it? It's a bottomless pit, and there's very little accountability. Money, 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 money. And I think they're just now putting an inspector general in place to audit these funds. We're going to look back on this in 10 and 20 years, mark my words, folks, and it's going to be the most corrupt scandal of the century. This money is going places that you could not even imagine. And we have no insight, and it's your money. And that's the biggest takeaway from this show, this episode, is that everything that we talked about today is your money, yours, your hard-earned money. So if I came and knocked on your door and said, hi, I'm collecting funds for the LGBT Center in Manhattan for housing transsexuals, what would you say? Absolutely not. How about I'm raising money for the Michelle Obama Trail in Georgia? Could I have some of yours, please? No. The answer would be no. On every piece of this bill, the answer would be no with every household in the U.S. You know why? Because it doesn't help them. It doesn't help their community. If anything, it pushes their communities back. It pushes more woke ideologues into the communities, giving them money to hire and spread this nonsense. And your politicians just sign off on this because they don't care about your money. They don't care about your hard work. All they care about is sending money out to these places, and it's all quid pro quo. And this is why earmarks were banned for so long, and they should be banned again, because it's theft. It's money laundering. It's fraud. It's no different than those guys that went into Nordstrom and tried to take everything that they could to use it to benefit themselves. And that's what's happening. And what's even more so scary is that they're going after small businesses, people who use Venmo and PayPal, while they spend this ridiculous amount of money on things that don't matter. And the sad thing is that most Democrats out there won't realize it because they watch CNN and MSNBC and they're cheering, saying this bill is great. It's nonpartisan. It's people working together. We're getting it through. The government will be funded for the next year. Amen. You know what a shutdown looks like? It's like the DMV on a Saturday or a Sunday. Everyone's still getting paid. Everything's still functioning. Social Security checks still go out. The services just aren't there. Big whoop. Military still gets paid. They act like it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Contractually, all of the federal employees that have pay stops, if the government shuts down, they all get that back. So when they cheer that the government isn't going to shut down, at what cost? And why shouldn't the government shut down when our money is going towards things that aren't directly benefiting us or our communities or our families, or our schools, our roads, our military, our borders. And that's why the gloves have to come off, folks. The gloves have to come off. It's time. It's time for us to really begin to look at Republican leadership and say, enough is enough. Get rid of these rhinos. Get rid of these people. I mean, McConnell has no business being our leader in Senate. Yet we just voted him right in. Crazy. McConnell's big excuse for why we didn't have more negotiating power and why he just pushed this bill was because the Senate majority didn't flip to Republican. And he said that the quality of candidates was the reason why, when in reality, he controlled all kinds of election funding that he didn't put towards candidates that he didn't like. He essentially empowered Democrats to win. He went up against the candidates that could have won. And he talks about quality of candidates when really, I mean, who are his candidates that he's supported? I mean, the last major one that he supported was in Arizona, McSally. She couldn't win an election to save her life. So he's blaming essentially us conservatives for wanting to put up conservative candidates like J.D. Vance or Herschel Walker. And he's saying, well, because you guys did this, you know, I've been telling you since this long. Since you guys did this, we can't get a proper spending bill done. Bull. A bunch of hooey. And he is the expert at the blame game. He is the absolute blame game expert because he's been in Washington forever. That's all they do. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news around Christmas time that we're all now strapped with an additional $20,000 on our backs. Republicans in Senate have basically told all of us to get effed. And the House Republicans that are coming in, the new House is being set up for failure. And like I said in the beginning of the episode, this is a Trojan horse. This is a Trojan horse of Marxism and woke spending like we've never seen before. And the worst part about it is that the way they timed it is so it could be an actual Trojan horse. In the story, in the Aeneid, the Greeks tried to breach Troy's walls for 10 years, and they had hundreds of thousands of soldiers, thousands of boats in the water, and the city of Troy remained unfazed for 10 years because they hadn't been able to breach. They hadn't been able to get through the gates. But Greeks had something that Troy didn't have, tenacity and grit. They knew no matter how many soldiers that cost them, how much money they spent, the Greeks knew come hell or high water, they would breach and get in and destroy the city of Troy. And what do you know? One day they were all gone. The Trojans showed up on the beach. There was a big giant horse and they celebrated. They let their guard down. They rolled the horse in, as you know. And then night fell. The gates were opened. Women were raped. The children were enslaved. Men murdered. And we're currently living through a modern American version of the Trojan War. I mean, Americans, we're innocently enjoying our holiday, the week of Christmas, celebrating friends and family and our football teams. We're not paying attention to this thing flying through Congress. The media is not covering it. And a lot of people, including myself, have kind of rested easy knowing that we cast our vote. And we have a new House of Representatives awaiting to start to begin to sort of reinitiate or protect American priorities. But our eyes have been off the ball. And just like Troy, our walls have been under attack for many years. Woke ideologues and Marxists have tried for years and years to breach the walls of American democracy and burn down our country. They've invaded schools, as you know, the media, politicians, but they've never been able to breach the American family or the American neighborhood or the American dream. But it's starting. And what we're witnessing today is just a tiny little sneak peek to what's to come. Should they breach the walls? Should they wheel in a big giant horse? This is the closest they've ever been. And there are so many patriots around the country working to block these things, working against child mutilation, stopping the grooming, protecting American history, just to name a few. But that doesn't do any good when our federal government funds programs that go directly against what people are fighting for in their own communities. We've been lulled into a false sense of security, and we've underestimated the damage these politicians have been able to do in a few days' time. And sadly, the democratic foundation of this country has always been our greatest line of defense against these liberal ideologues, using our vote. I mean, from the time we're old enough to read, we're promised that in America, the people choose who and what happens through our vote. But our representatives have disregarded our God-given rights and have worked hard to make the priorities of the American people completely irrelevant. Our votes go into the abyss, only to elect politicians who get to Washington and disregard everything they promised on the campaign trail. There's no loyalty to the American Foundation. There's no loyalty to American citizens anymore. And most importantly, there's no loyalty to the American dream. I mean, this bill, just like the Greek soldiers, is being wheeled into the households of America right through our front doors, pretending that it's for defense and purposely being done at Christmas time with only 4 days to review right before the new year and new Congress. Trillions of your tax dollars are being allocated for anti-American programs, and this is the most progressive spending bill in American history. And guess what, folks? As these dollars secretly flow into some of the most progressive and extreme organizations, your neighborhoods are going to be infiltrated with those who are intent on destroying democracy and our heritage. The gates have been opened. The bill has passed, and the destruction's going to start. However, by the grace of God, there is one thing that we have that the people of Troy did not. We actually know it's here. Had the people of Troy been aware what was in the horse, they could have destroyed it, lit it on fire, kept it outside of the walls in order to save their society, but they didn't know. We know. We have the opportunity to destroy the spending bill before the Greek soldiers, like Marxists, start sneaking out and killing our heritage, raping our culture, and enslaving our children. Initiatives like trans education for kids, population control measures, and if it harms plant life, and anti-police organizations are receiving millions of dollars. While headlines read, shutdown looms ahead, senators are working hard together to avoid a military shutdown, when in actuality, a shutdown's more nothing more than closing offices for the weekend. Those headlines in Greek translate to, don't worry, we'll fix it fast, and here's a beautiful wooden horse as a gift. Confidence, security, and the desire to give people the benefit of the doubt, which are American virtues, are what destroyed the entire civilization of Troy. And guess what, folks? We're on track for that very fate, which has been shot into hyperdrive now with the passage of this bill. It's a dark, scary, but very real thought. Since the very beginning of time, fallen civilizations have one thing in common. At one point or another, they all let their guard down. So let me ask you the real question. Are we going to learn from the lessons of history? Are we going to allow the beautiful horse of equality, political correctness, and fairness destroy our country from the inside out? We have a choice. Gloves off, brass knuckles on, destroy, destroy, destroy. We can't afford anything else. I'm Chad Law, reminding you of what Reagan once said. How do you tell a communist? Well, it's someone who reads Marx and Lenin. And how do you tell an anti-communist? It's someone who understands Marx and Lenin. That's exactly where we are today. God bless you, President Reagan, and may God save America.
You just listened to the Last Gay Conservative Podcast, hosted by Chad Law. Please visit us at lastgayconservative.com for this episode and others. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you listen. If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and share. Find us on social at Last Gay Conservative. we proudly support the following causes: the Convention of States Action, the National Rifle Association, the Heritage Foundation, and Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent. The Last Gay Conservative is a production of Bend Right Media. All rights reserved, 2022.